Welcome to That's Showbiz, Baby. I'm Geordie Lucas, founder and editor of It's All Her and an actress in a previous life.
And I'm Alexandria Fennell, former producer of some of Australia's most iconic TV shows.
From reality TV to soaps and everything in between, join us as we take a hilarious and unfiltered look at the scandals, absurdities and unforgettable moments from behind the scenes of Australian TV.
Because when it comes to the world of television, truth is often stranger than fiction.
It ain't always pretty and it ain't always fair, but
that's showbiz, baby!
Welcome back. I'm your co-host, Geordie Lucas.
And I'm Alexandria Fennell.
Hope you've loved our first few episodes so far. We are loving putting this show together for
really
you.
It's really fun.
As always, if you have any questions or stories that you'd like to share, feel free to send us a little email.
Yeah, let us know. And you can be anonymous if you want. I've actually, since we've released this, had lots of industry people, other producers I've worked with being like, if I wasn't still in the industry, I'd do it. And I'm like, okay, well, do it then.
Yeah.
Just do it. I'm the one doing it. We're the ones doing it. So start, give us your content. Give us your stories.
Yeah. Don't be selfish.
Don't be selfish. Don't be scared. You got to start somewhere. I'll hold your hand.
I want to talk about a recent news story that you have a bit of a personal
link
to.
Anecdote.
A personal anecdote.
Yes.
Again, you know, these are our stories, yes. Our truth.
Yes.
So the headline is Lizzo is actually not quitting the music industry. She just quits giving her attention to negative energy.
Funny. I don't think it's meant to be funny.
So she posted this lengthy statement on social media and it seemed as though she was quitting the music industry because she's sick of people trying to tear her down, and it finished with, I quit. And she since had to come out and clarify. What I'm not going to quit is the joy of my life, which is making music and connecting to people. And I know I'm not alone. In no way, shape or form am I the only person experiencing that negative voice that's louder than the positive. Mm-hmm. Now, Lizzo hasn't had the best press and PR lately.
Yeah.
It's pretty safe to say that she was once loved, adored, celebrated.
Mm-hmm.
Now not so much.
That's correct.
Yeah. I'm always really skeptical of these sorts of things and with cancel culture because I've been in this industry for over 20 years and I know how the media works and how the media can turn so quickly. And I've also worked with people who have a bad reputation in the press and with the media, and it turns out that they're actually really lovely. So I'm always really skeptical. And this is something that we see a lot of, you know, people are loved and adored and celebrated, and then all of a sudden something happens and people decide, actually, we don't love you that much. Mm-hmm. We're going to
pile on.
Yeah. But you think that this might be.
Oh, no, I'm not commenting about whether Lizzo deserves to be cancelled or not. All I can share.
Share your
experience.
Yeah.
So I did meet Lizzo in The Rise in her. So she was obviously touring Australia. She was very popular in that era. I was working on the project at the time, and part of my job was social media person. So part of my job was to go and get behind the scenes content of the celebrities. And of course, you know, you get to work and you look at who's coming in and some guests are more exciting than others. Lizzo Day was very exciting. My boss, who never usually would come and take photos with me, was like, I'm coming. So we went up there and I took the clunky old project camera. Digital was given up there, and I always used to say, I think we need a better camera when we're like taking photos of these really famous people. Just like, that's showbiz, baby. And I rocked up with my old clunky old 5D, and Lizzo and her team are there, and like, oh, Lizzo, can I get a photo, please? And her team were lovely, and she was like, yeah, sure. So we went out to that garish Channel 10 sign that all the project photos are taken. Yeah. It was such a nightmare trying to get that in the right angle, but that's a story for another day.
The lighting is not your friend.
It's not. In that. They've tried. They've really tried to fix it. I don't know what it's like these days, but yeah, when I was there, it was the bane of my existence. Mm-hmm. That sign, because also on the grid, it looks so bad.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I've taken some photos of Lizzo, to the best of my ability, given the resources I have. And she says, "Can I look at it?" And I was like, "Yeah, sure." Which I mean. It's also a bit terrifying when a really famous person asks to look at your photo right there in front of, there's like her entire entourage, my boss.
How many people are we talking in the entourage?
7 to 10.
Okay, wow.
But there was like, yeah, so 7 senior people around her. They're all crowding around me and my little clunky, embarrassing camera with my little dirty fingerprints all over it. And the photo wouldn't load. So the thing was, the camera often had playback issues,
mm-hmm.
and it just wouldn't load. And I started sweating. I was like, and
drops
she goes
onto the
screen. And my boss, it was so awkward. My boss goes, "Oh," and like just walks away. I was like, "Can you not? Come and like help me with this?" But no, he was like so cringe, and Lizzo was getting really impatient. She was like huffing and puffing, and then she goes, "Is it any good or not?" And then like looks at me, and I was like, "Yes, it's good." And she was like, "Well, it better be." And I was like, "I know, I'm yes, so ma'am. Sorry." Yes, I was so petrified. She was really quite disgruntled at that situation, and I never got to show her the photo. Because it never came up. It never came up.
Could we insert the photo?
Actually, yeah. I probably
Lizzo, if you're watching, but here's the photo.
I also don't begrudge her that much though because, you know, I'm a bit fussy about my photos. And if I was about to go on a national live TV show and some little shithead has taken my photo and they're refusing to show me the photo. But, yeah, she wasn't particularly gracious about it in my experience. And I was very uncomfortable. I was mortified. I was embarrassed. I was terrified. I was sweating profusely. And putting that photo up was terrifying because in the end, to her credit, she did end up just being like, "Oh, whatever." I love that I say that's to her credit. But, like,
I'm not sure.
She could have doubled down and be like, "Do not put that up until I get to review it." But mm-hmm. she wasn't that bad in that instance.
Yeah.
So she, but yeah, my experience of her was that she was very, very terrifying. And yeah, it was scary. So I can imagine having her as a boss would be scary.
Yeah.
But maybe she's really nice. I don't know.
I just think everyone starts somewhere and you can never forget where you've come from, and I find it really disheartening when I hear stories like this, you know. And it's funny how quickly people forget as soon as they taste
fame
and success and have that entourage of 7 people around them,
mm-hmm.
how quickly they can just turn into
the
worst version of themselves.
Yeah.
That's really disappointing.
And tech issues happen.
Exactly.
It wasn't my fault. I think maybe from her perspective, she was probably frustrated that she was on this show and we had a shit camera. But she wasn't very nice about it.
Yeah.
So when I do hear those stories that what did she get allegedly?
Yeah.
She made somebody eat a banana that was – that's one of the stories. She made a dancer eat a banana that had been in like a sex show.
Oh, my God.
That's part of the sexual harassment allegation. Lizzo has strenuously denied that allegation.
Mm.
Yeah.
I just think that's such a specific story. Why would you
make that up?
Like, where would you pull it from? You know what I mean?
Yeah, that is one of the allegations.
I did see a TikTok as well of a girl, and this is again allegedly, a girl actually accused her of stealing her boyfriend. Lizzo stole my man.
Maybe she did.
Yeah. I mean, it's just.
Is that illegal?
I mean, it's not illegal. She's not going to get charged for it.
It's not nice.
But it's not a great indication of her character.
Maybe the man liked Lizzo better than the girl.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd kind of think it's a bit of a claim to fame if Lizzo stole my boyfriend.
Yeah.
She can have him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's your stance on cancel culture?
Cancel culture. I have a theory that it's becoming very obsolete and it's not in fashion anymore.
Yeah.
It's very 2017. It was very on trend. It was 2015, 16, 17. That was the era. It had its moment.
Mm.
And I think there was some really good things that came out of that. But these days, digging up old things that people have said and done in a bid to unravel them probably isn't warranted. But what I'm noticing in terms of celebrity trends, cancel culture is more based on lawsuits now. So it's more, which in a way is kind of not quite cancel culture because it's not based on something that somebody tweeted or somebody said, or it's usually based on what they're being accused of in a court of law.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when people do have serious allegations against them, I think it is in the public interest that it is reported on, and people naturally will have opinions on that and decide whether they would like to continue consuming products by this person who has been accused of these crimes.
Misdemeanors,
crimes, you know.
And I guess this is the kind of thing that she built her whole brand around, being really celebratory of difference and being inclusive of everyone and being everyone's champion. And now it seems that might not be the case. And I think people feel cheated when stuff like this comes out because that's what they loved her for.
I agree. I also think the higher your soapbox, the bigger the fall from the soapbox. And so perhaps the tide wouldn't be turning so hectically against her had she not had that such a strong anthemic message of empowerment, inclusivity, self-respect, respect, love, all those amazing things. Because she was such a purveyor of that, I think it is immensely disappointing, which is possibly also why employees felt inclined to say it, because it's not a story if an overt a-hole is acting like an a-hole. That's not going to get much media coverage, I don't think.
Yeah,
it's only when it's unexpected, and that's when it is disappointing. I think also with these situations, especially with celebrities or people who are creative, they often get a bit carried away in the moment of their quirkiness.
Yeah.
And so there is also the chance that there was some behaviours which were perceived as questionable and hostile, but there's also the chance, the nuance, that the intention wasn't that. And so it's been because you can never really – people have their own experiences and people perceive things in a certain way. And so there is the chance that both of them are telling the truth, that this happened and they perceived it this way. And so for all we know, Lizzo genuinely didn't mean it and disagrees. You know, maybe things were a joke to her, but the other people didn't take it as a joke. That's kind of...
But I think someone who preaches inclusivity so much should have an awareness of that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You'd think so, but... I do know a lot of very creative, successful people, and I think the natural thing is to become that successful, you have to be so uniquely yourself and authentic and unapologetic. And a byproduct of that is that you are so confident and so just whatever, no shit's taken, and so you can become a little bit not conscious of the way you are affecting others. Because your head's a little bit skewed because you're so celebrated for your uniqueness and your quirkiness. So how do you stop being so unique and quirky?
Yeah.
And be like, oh, hang on, no, it's okay to be my true self here but not my true self here. I think it messes with their heads a bit.
Yeah.
especially musicians, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's just a theory I just came up with on the spot. But I do notice it in creative people. They're just like really flying high, happy with their creative output, and they're like, "Fuck it, I'm untouchable. I'm gonna do what I want," kind of thing. I get like that.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That's all I have to say about Lizzo.
That's all she wrote.
It is important to acknowledge that not all celebrities are out of touch and completely.
No, they're not.
You know, there are some good ones, and in our many years in this industry, we've both met some gems. Who have been some of your favorites and some highlights from your career? I'm sure you met heaps on the project.
Heaps on the project and Sunrise. That was when I really got my fame fucking out of I don't wish. I take that back. They were when it was like actual big ones, right? Yep. When you're actually quite intimidated. Mm-hmm. The one that always stands out for me is Renee Zellweger. So when we heard she was coming, I was just beside myself with excitement. She's just such a Hollywood glamour. So everybody loves Renee. Nobody has a bad word to say about her, right? And so my friend was the guest producer at the time, so was producing her segment and had to sort of look after Renee. And her and Renee started to just really hang out and click. And Renee was in the green room spraying her face with this like gold mist, plumping mist. And then she was I was there like waiting to get my photos. And she was spraying my friend and tapping my friend's face and going, "It's gorgeous. You look gorgeous." And my friend is just like melting. She went home and looked it up, and the face spray was like $600, but she bought it. She's like, "Renee recommended this to me." Anyway, so I took Renee out to the infamous Channel 10 sign and said, "Renee, can you pose?" And it felt so awkward and garish having this absolute glamorous woman against that awful backdrop. But she was so chill. She was so knew her angles, just like posed, you know, just did it so beautifully and eloquently. And I just was so comfortable with her. I actually felt just this energy of absolute beauty and like an angel-like energy is the only way I could describe her. And I felt so comfortable with her. It was time to walk into studio. And her and I just walked in together because she was so lovely. So
in hand with Renee Zellweger.
I just was like, "Oh, well, we're friends now. She's not going to mind if I just walk in with her." So I just walked in with the camera on my arm next to Renee. And as I walked in, the crew were sort of all like, you know, bleary-eyed looking. And I'm just like, "Yeah, hey, guys. Yeah, Renee and I have just been taking some photos. It's fine." She goes on the desk. She charms the hosts. They kind of are judgmental. She just charms everybody in the studio. Is just like, "Renee is an angel." Anyway, after the show wraps up, usually the celebs, they get rushed out by their people because they're not going to just hang, because there's also a live audience. So there's strangers in there too. There's security and everything. But anyway, the show ends, the lights go up, the hosts sort of stand up. They're sort of ready to go because they always rush out because they don't want to be there any longer than they have to. It's their job. Like, everyone wants to go home. Renee doesn't leave the studio. She just starts chilling, hanging out, walking around, chatting to the crew. She doesn't want to go home. And so everyone's sort of like awkwardly kind of standing there like, "I guess we're hanging back to hang with Renee." And then she walks up to me, looks me in the eye, grabs my hands, and goes, "Thank you so much for those beautiful photos. Thank you so much." And if that's not a comparison, I expect that. Lizzo, that's what I expect. A gratitude. And she just held my hands. And it was like time stopped. I felt so chuffed and just pleased with myself. And just, it was probably one of the greatest moments of my career, I reckon. It just felt so good having that this lovely lady who's so famous be so nice to me and actually see
me. She saw me.
Because usually I'm just an annoying little pest, you know, a social media pest that runs around trying to get photos of them. And I annoy them often, you know, Lizzo in point. I'm annoying to them. But Renee actually saw me and I was really so happy by that. So, yeah, what about you?
Oh, there's been a few. I think in Australia, the women that I've interviewed for the podcast, it's kind of the ones that are the bigger names and have had those longer careers that are the more down to earth and generous. Obviously, yeah. I've never interviewed anyone close to Renee Zellweger, but
I mean, neither have I. She was on the project.
In Australia, you know, Natalie Barr was so generous. Ada Nicodemo, like these women who have been around traps a long time. And, you know,
I've worshipped them. They're lovely.
Yeah. And I'm sure people. Doing a podcast interview isn't on the top list of things that they really want to do with their time, but publicity is a necessary evil for them. And they were both just so generous, so encouraging, not in a patronizing way. Shayna Blaze as well.
Oh, she's so nice.
Just yeah, it's those bigger names, and not that I've ever had a real horror story with anyone. But yeah, I find that those bigger names and the bigger personalities are more often than not the ones that are more
definitely
generous definitely. And haven't forgotten where they came from.
At the project, when it was a winner of a reality show or a top contestant, they were always the biggest divas. It was like you'd have your Hollywood stars for the most part who were just so generous. You know, Jason Alexander, George from Seinfeld, he was so normal and lovely. And then you've got winners of Survivor and stuff who were absolute just causing stress. It's like
unbelievable.
It is. Yeah.
They really need to be humbled. I feel like that's
well, this is what we're doing.
We're humbling them. One, when I was living in LA, I used to have this friend. I'm still friends with her now, but she, I don't know how, she was just very well connected. And she would always get us into these clubs, Soho House, which I mean is so.
I love that you went there.
It is just the whole concept of the place is so obnoxious that you have to be referred by people to get a membership. I'm just not cool enough, nor will I kiss anyone's ass enough for them to refer me to get a membership to a club.
But you got in there.
By the by, one night we're out and she says, this club has opened. It's brand new. We've got to go. And it was a club in LA in West Hollywood, and you had to walk through a car park to get like an underground car park, and you walked in and it was a club. And so we've walked in. I was at the bar and I looked to my left and Meghan Trainor's there. I did like a double take. I was like, oh, I love you. And she starts talking to me. She's like, I love your accent, blah, blah, blah. Then she's like, let's dance. And I'm like, sure, let's dance. So we go. She was talking to me like I was a friend.
Person, a human.
It's like, you know how people are like the nicest people you meet are drunk girls in the club bathrooms?
Yeah.
It was that energy. She was just the best. She was so lovely.
That. I love that.
But then my friend came over and ruined it by accusing Meghan Trainor of urinating on her.
What?
Yeah. So
what?
We were obviously dancing with drinks and my friend was very drunk. Obviously, like, we're dancing and Meghan's drink is like, it's like
I'd let Megan a little bit. Spill whatever she wants on me. Cover me, baby.
I was gonna say I'd let her piss on me, but probably not.
I draw the line
there. So my friend leans over and whispers in my ear, she just fucking pissed on me. I was like, what? She's pissed on me. And she like points to her leg and I'm like, we are not about to accuse Megan
Surely it was just her drink, though, right?
Yeah, it totally was. Yes, absolutely. Meghan Trainor did not wee on my
Just to clarify,
was her drink.
She was just like being a normal drunk girl, spilling her drinks while dancing. That's what we do.
Exactly. And, yeah, I was like, we are not about to have this go down. We need to leave. So, because she was like angry. She was ready to go.
Oh,
and I was like, no,
God.
She's not
his
happy.
Friend ruining it.
She I could have, I friend. Swear, I could have been friends with Meghan Trainor. It could
you
have
could have. It could have happened. And then you could have had her as a great friend and your drunk friend. Oh, the drunk friends.
I know. We both have so many more celebrity encounter stories that we are keen to share. But we also want to hear from you if you have had an amazing encounter or a disastrous encounter with a celeb. Please let us know. We'd love to share it. You can remain anonymous, of course.
And can we, well, I was going to say we can keep the celebrity anonymous, but we probably can't because then it's really not a segment. So sorry, yeah. You're going to have to throw the celeb under the bus. Not that we're trying to take Dumois' spot.
Yeah.
Love that account, but.
Oh, my favorite.
They're just, she's just so good. She just gets such good goss. But we're not a gossip. We are not a gossip pod.
Correct. We deal with the facts
and first-hand info, always.
Be sure to follow us on Instagram. Stay up to date with the latest. Follow us wherever you listen to your podcast. We'll be back in your ears next week. Have a great weekend.
Bye.